3 days later, a large envelope arrived with an application for admission to the R.D. Curtis Library and Research Center. I filled it out, writing none in the space provided for affiliations with alien spirits and movements. The signature box called for a toe print of the big toe on my right foot. Even as I pressed my toe into an open can of brown kiwi shoe wax, I figured the chances were about even that I had become the victim of a put-on. But I sent in the application anyway, and in a matter of days, Ralph Curtis was on the phone again, asking if I was free to come to Palazzo Barbaro at 3 o'clock the next afternoon. I said I was. "Good," he said. "We'll have a liftoff." He did not elaborate. As agreed, I met him at a cafe in Campo Santo Stefano, immediately behind the Barbaro. He was seated at a table smoking a tapered green cigarette, the kind that usually had dried vegetables rolled into them. He was a man in his mid-50s, slightly built and deeply tanned. He wore blue-tinted aviator glasses, neatly pressed jeans, and a brown suede jacket over a crewneck sweater. He snuffed out the cigarette and stood up. "All set?" A heavy wooden door at the rear of the palace opened onto an enchanting inner courtyard with walls of ancient brick and stucco and windows set at random intervals. To our left, a long, steep marble stairway with a vine-covered iron railing rose in two flights to the piano nobile. At the center of the courtyard, a luxurious rhododendron sprouted from a large marble wellhead made from the capital of an old column. Directly in front of us, a darkened arcade led to the sun-sparkling water of the Grand Canal. An old gondola rested on stilts as if waiting to be launched. Its felze, a small black passenger cabin of the sort not seen for decades in Venice, was still attached. I asked how old it was.
"Over 100 years," said Ralph.
Which meant that Robert Browning, John Singer Sargent, and Henry James had probably gone for rides in it. At the top of the stairs, we entered a tall, dim antechamber. A pair of polished doors stood to our right, and beyond them, the formal portico and the storied rooms on the Grand Canal. But those doors remained closed. Ralph took a sharp left toward a lesser door that led into his own apartment. It was a series of rooms, spacious but spare, at the back of the palace. Every room was painted plain white. The starkness of the place was heightened by its emptiness. What furniture there was amounted to a couple of chairs, a small wooden table, and some shelves. The apartment's chandeliers and wall fixtures were fitted with small cobalt blue bulbs, the same color as those used to line airport landing strips. The name of each room was neatly stenciled on the walls. Flight Control Center, Moon Room, Mars Room, Peace Room, Extraterrestrial Search Room. "Welcome to the Starship Barbaro," said Ralph, leading me on a brief tour of the apartment, which he referred to as the OC wing of the Palazzo Barbaro. OC stood for Odile Curtis, the name of his ex-wife.